You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I like to think that every player on a practice squad will at least once in a while daydream about having that conversation with the GM or the coach saying, hey, we're going to need you next week. Be ready to be active on game day. We're signing you to the active roster, right? Like after you didn't make the team, but you're on the practice squad and it's really just like the waiting list for the team. I love to think that these ambitious kids are always daydreaming about the moment that they actually get to be on the roster. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. You can find this show anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or you can always ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today I'm going to start off with a story about somebody who did have that conversation about getting bumped up from the practice squad to the active roster, had to play a couple of games, and now his career looks that much better for it. And I'm going to spend most of the show talking about our favorite wide receiver, Adam Thielen. He is our favorite now that Diggs is gone, and I'm not ready to come to grips with it yet. But before we get into all that, let's talk about Nate Metter. So he grew up in San Bernardino, California, which might sound familiar to you because it's the same hometown that Alexander Madison had. Kind of a rough area, wrong side of the tracks kind of place. And when he's in high school, he actually plays quarterback for most of his time there. And his sophomore year, he gets benched and goes back to playing like wide receiver a little bit. He's a very good athlete, so they put him all over the field. But somebody else takes his job sophomore year, and then the next year, they say, now we're going to put you back at quarterback for two more. And that is kind of an interesting foreshadow for how his NFL time goes in terms of the you lost your job, but nope, here you have it back. So he goes to UCLA, and there he actually has a decent freshman year as a rotational kind of cornerback, gives people a little bit of promise, and then there's a graduation, there's an injury to Fabian Moreau, who was kind of the starter there at UCLA, and he actually gets a chance to start, and Fabian Moreau obviously goes to the NFL eventually, and that makes Nate Metters kind of the guy at UCLA. And he has a pretty good career there, his first 3 years. Good enough where he starts to consider maybe I should go out for the NFL early. He thinks maybe he'll have a shot, but he thinks also, well, what if I have a really good senior year? Then I can get a better shot at the at an NFL roster. I can maybe make a little bit of noise here at UCLA. Maybe we can have a good thing going here. And so he decides to go back for his senior year, which turns out to be kind of a mess because there's this moment, and you might remember this if you listened to this 90-man series last year, because this was kind of a defining moment for him in the first game of the season in the 2018 college season for UCLA. It was versus Cincinnati. The Bruins were backed up to their own five, and he's on defense, and he drops what could have been a 95-yard pick six. And that momentum leads not only to the Bruins to lose the game, but Nate Metters actually has a really up-and-down senior season, and the entire idea of going back for another year to up his draft stock totally backfires, and he ends up not getting drafted at all, as we are familiar with, and he ends up in Vikings camp. Now, my own experience with camp was limited. I only actually got to see a couple of days, but from what I saw and from what I heard about the other days, he was having a really, really rough camp. And he was kind of placed like dead last among all of the cornerbacks, below Chris Boyd, below like Duke Thomas. And it isn't until that first preseason game where the Vikings went to New Orleans where anything good really happens for Nate Metters. It seemed really, really bleak at that moment. But then, in the waning moments of that game, Nate Metters takes a tipped ball, if I remember it was a tipped ball, takes it all the way back to the house, and suddenly he's got a little bit of attention on him. And from there, he actually plays quite a bit better throughout the preseason. Not well enough to make the team, but just well enough to sneak onto the practice squad over the likes of a guy like Duke Thomas. But it's tough out there for a nickel, especially on the Vikings, where he had to compete with Mackenzie Alexander and Mike Hughes, and even a guy like Jayron Kearse that they put in the nickel for a little while in that early part of the season. But things worked out fortuitously, not for the Vikings or for the players themselves, but for Nate Metters, because a lot of guys get hurt. Turns out Mike Hughes isn't quite ready to come back from his injury right away. He starts the season on PUP. Mackenzie Alexander gets hurt, and he has to miss some time. And suddenly, that conversation happens. And I believe it's like Wednesday or Thursday session before the week 2 game against Green Bay, Rick Spielman comes up to Nate Meadors and says, "Be ready. We're going to need you." And that is the moment, I think, when you don't make the team and you get cut, but you get that you're going to be on the practice squad thing. I mean, that is such a volatile place. Guys get cut from the practice squad all the time, put back on the practice squad all the time. They get passed around between teams. Somebody will poach you for 2 weeks and then cut you again. And then somebody, and then you've lost your practice squad slot because the other team already replaced you. There's so many bad things that can happen to you on the practice squad. So having the GM come up to you and say, "All right, you're in next time," has to be one of the coolest moments, especially for somebody who had, such a tumultuous time getting there after going back for his senior season at UCLA. And he does. He suits up. He plays, I think, 12 snaps against Green Bay and 22 in the next week. Unfortunately, one of the first snaps he plays against Green Bay, he ends up lining up at nickel, totally overplaying a route and giving up a touchdown, which does kind of hurt his prospects for actually solidifying his roster spot. But it was enough to keep him on the practice squad and give him a shot at making the team in 2020. And that's where he comes in now. Again, he plays mostly nickel, and it's tough out there. The Vikings just drafted Jeff Gladney. They have a fully healthy Mike Hughes, and they have a couple of other guys like Harrison Hand and stuff that could maybe be ahead of him in that nickel depth chart, and you're only going to roster one or two at a time, and they do not have a lot of need for a nickel. But you could also maybe play at safety. He could try to, you know, prove himself outside. And of course, if he excels at special teams, that will help quite a bit to making a roster as well. So it's certainly not out of the question for a guy like Nate Meadors. But it's been a bit of a winding road just to get here, which is always good to look back and appreciate, especially if this is indeed the end of the road and in a crowded cornerback field, but a pretty wide open one. If he ends up being one of the odd men out, it's still a pretty cool story to look back on. So for the rest of the show, I'm going to talk about Adam Thielen, his prospects in 2020, and some of the conversations that I got up to on Wednesday that I think make for a pretty good topic. So stick around for that. I also want to talk to you about rockauto.com. Rock Auto is a car parts aggregator for all of your car or truck part needs. Whether you're a gearhead that loves to work on this thing in your garage, especially in quarantine, it's like your quarantine hobby, or if you're somebody who just had their car break down, you need a new part for it, you should definitely go check out Rock Auto. I needed a battery for my car because I'm an idiot, and because I wasn't driving to work anymore, I forgot to drive it for too long, and the battery completely died, so I needed a new one. And I went to an auto parts store, brick and mortar store. I paid about $215 for that battery. If I had looked on Rock Auto for the exact same battery for my car, and their interface is awesome. You just enter your make, your model, your year, and what part you need, and they will show you all the options. You can be sure that it fits, because it can be very overwhelming to have to buy the right thing. And if I had done that, I could have saved like $50. So big regrets. Don't be stupid like me. Go to rockauto.com. And when you're there on checkout, just let them know that Locked On sent you. Okay, so on Wednesday, I was talking a lot online on Twitter about Adam Thielen and how, guys, don't forget, Adam Thielen is still a very good receiver. And I want to go into the like prospects for Adam Thielen a little bit. We haven't really talked about it from like a macro perspective in terms of kind of what went down in 2019 with him, how that projects to 2020, what's going to happen without Diggs and all that. There's a lot of interesting stuff about Adam Thielen himself. And usually when we talk about the wide receivers, we're talking about, is Justin Jefferson going to be good? What happens at wide receiver 3? And it's just kind of a given that Adam Thielen will be there and be Adam Thielen. But let's talk about that a little bit. So the impetus for this conversation was Ben Baldwin, who I've cited quite a bit on this show. I love his work. He was talking about quarterback rankings, I guess, quarterback stuff. And he basically has a take that he has talked a ton about, that Kirk Cousins is better than Aaron Rodgers. And of course, he gets a bunch of flack every time he says that, because that's a pretty hot take. But in this particular case, he was talking about supporting cast and how Kirk Cousins basically, the take was Kirk Cousins has been more efficient over the last 5 years than Aaron Rodgers has, and Aaron Rodgers has had a better supporting cast. That was the take. That obviously is going to generate a little discussion. For one, the efficiency thing, from a pure production perspective, which is what he was referring to, that is inarguably true. Kirk Cousins has been more efficient, better at EPA, better completion percentage after adjusting for depth, all the like responsible things you're supposed to do. Kirk Cousins wins it, and that's fine. The supporting cast thing is going to get a little bit more chatter, and somebody's like, wait, how can you say that Minnesota's been loaded? They've got Dalvin Cook and Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph, and now they got Irv Smith and all that. How can you say that Kirk Cousins has had a worse supporting cast than Aaron Rodgers, who's got like Devontae Adams and nobody? And in that, he responded with, well, both teams have one wide receiver, some guys, and Green Bay has an offensive line. I don't see what the problem is here. Which then, that prompts a very easy question to think of, which is, wait, which guy between Diggs and Thielen do you think was just a guy? And he said, Thielen is just a guy. So that was the take that tilted me off of the face of the planet, because that's insane. And so I decided I was going to dedicate two segments of the podcast and make a highlight reel of all of the things he did in 2019. Now, to Ben's credit, and I think this is his actual take, which is a much more reasonable one, is that from the context of how much help Kirk Cousins was getting in terms of like contextualizing his performance, Adam Thielen in 2019, and he really backed off the take except for in 2019, was totally not himself for most of the season, right? He was injured, he had his hamstring thing, and when he came back from it, he actually played pretty poorly. But even despite that poor play, he still was the 20th best graded wide receiver, which I don't think you can say is just a guy. I think it's a very good plus wide receiver. When you say just a guy to me, that means somebody who would be like, yeah, wide receiver 2 on most teams, maybe wide receiver 3 if you have a good team. I think Adam Thielen would be the best wide receiver on more teams than not. So the just a guy moniker really doesn't agree with me. And when challenged on that, he says, oh yeah, no, that's totally a fair take. I was just kind of talking about how much help he had in 2019 from this and the fact that he only really had 1 year and like 6 games from Thielen. He had 2018 and whatever he got of 2019 from real Thielen, and the rest of this 5-year period has been with either whatever was going on in Washington or the 2019 receiver core, which was notoriously thin. So, like, whatever on that take, but there were other people that were like, no, I'm going to pick up where this left off and say, actually, without Diggs, I don't think he can carry a team, and I actually think he's just, like, average, totally wide receiver 2 type. And I think our brains are kind of poisoned because we've been arguing who is wide receiver 2 between Diggs and Thielen for, like, 5 years, and it's this really weird, like, dynamic, because if you have 2 elite wide receivers, let's just exaggerate and say that Diggs and Thielen are the 2 best receivers in the league, right? Totally untrue. But let's say they're the 2 best receivers in the league. Then you'd have the 2nd best receiver in the league be a wide receiver 2, and that wouldn't exactly be a fair criticism of that person, right? When you're talking about a wide receiver 2, you're talking about like a conservative possession guy, but he's not the explosive playmaker, right? You're talking about just kind of a guy. And maybe Thielen was wide receiver 2 behind Diggs. I think that's still very arguable. Haven't done a lot of content on it because it's not a particularly interesting discussion to me. I think it's a total toss-up. And so to go through a whole thing and come up with, yeah, it's like even would be really disappointing, or I could just take a side for the sake of content, but I'm not going to do that. One way to look at it would be to look at like who number 1 corners have shadowed when they shadow, basically say what are the Vikings opponents fear more, and say that guy's probably wide receiver 1, but even that isn't helpful because in 2018 that really went to Diggs a lot more, in 2019 that went to Thielen a lot more, even to the point of having guys like Marshawn Lattimore or Jair Alexander follow Thielen into the slot. The Vikings would use the slot a lot, right? Use Thielen to get him away from their elite cornerback, and in 2019 teams would actually just let their elite corner be lined up in an uncomfortable slot position rather than put their slot corner up against Adam Thielen. And they've done that to Diggs plenty too. So it's like this huge toss-up, and I don't really care, but we've been arguing over it for years, and I think that has poisoned our brains to think that one of these guys is just a dude and the other one is the real reason for all of the success. I just don't think that needs to be the case. Both of them can be very good, and I think both of them are excellent players. Now, with Diggs gone, is Adam Thielen maybe going to have a tougher time, get a little more attention? Sure, but I actually think his production could go up, if only for like market share reasons, right? Like Diggs has a lot of gravity to him, like literal, like on-field spatial gravity. Defenders will gravitate toward him a lot more than I think he got credit for, especially in the like 2017-2018 years. And so, yes, without that, Adam Thielen's going to get a little bit more attention, but he also has that same gravity when it comes to the market share of targets. He got a lot of targets. He got like 90, we got the most targets on the team last year, like 91 or something like that. That is a lot of now unclaimed market share that's going to go to Adam Thielen. So when you're talking like fantasy, I think Adam Thielen's totally going to be as viable of an option as he always was, if not more of one. And I also disagree with the basis that, oh, Diggs is the only reason Thielen was good, as if he could not win against number 1 quarterbacks, because we've seen him win against guys like Jair Alexander, who I think is a phenomenal corner, win against, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, and win against Stephon Gilmore and stuff. But I don't think we have to resort to these kinds of like anecdotal yes, no, can you find me an example kinds of things, because I can show you the actual way in which Adam Thielen wins and kind of prove to you that he is indeed still good at football, a thing that we really shouldn't be questioning at all at this point after watching him play since like he really broke out at the end of 2016. So when I come back, I'm going to go a little bit more into the nitty-gritty of Adam Thielen and what he does well and really the characteristic of how good he is as a wide receiver. And I think it's just important to talk about this real quick because we kind of all forgot that he's incredible. So stick around. Okay, so let's dig into a few of the highlights here. So I made in 2018 midseason, I made a dumb little highlight reel because I was sad about losing to the Saints and I wanted to make something to cheer me up. And so I made a bunch of highlight reels of really cool things Adam Thielen had done. And I just made the one today because I was on tilt and I decided to pull out a whole bunch of highlights from the first six games of Adam Thielen's 2019, essentially to prove the point that, yeah, Adam Thielen was plenty elite. He hurt his hamstring and that killed his performance. And I don't think we need to, I don't think that there's any weird, like, mitigating circumstance. I think it's an Occam's razor situation here. It's what it looks like on the box. Adam Thielen got hurt and then his play suffered. And if he can come back healthy, which is a total if, hamstrings can be tricky and we can totally see him come back and not really be himself. I mean, he's 30. That's not horribly old, but for a wide receiver, you are running out of time a little bit, and coming off a hamstring could be tough. So there could totally be some regression in 2020 because of that injury, but let's not pretend it's anything other than an injury. So the thing about Adam Thielen, and you notice this if you ever are just going to go scrub through tape looking for highlights, is that there isn't a particular kind of highlight that is always the thing. You know, there's no such thing as the, oh, this is the Dwight Freeney spin move, and every one of his highlights, he kind of relies on this thing, and when he can do it, it's elite, and he doesn't really have anything. No, he has every single way to beat you in the book. There are plenty of examples of him winning on release. So if you are a cornerback, you're playing in press coverage, that means you're right up in the wide receiver's face and you're going to try to jam them, push them off of their timing and ruin any slants or any quick stuff, timing stuff that the offense is trying to do. So as a wide receiver, a big way that you have to do this, and this is all over Thielen's tape and Diggs's too, is you kind of have to get skinny at the line of scrimmage. And that means turn your shoulders and essentially lower the amount of surface area on your body that a cornerback can push against. And that's why you turn your shoulders, or you just get out of the way immediately. And your first couple steps will be completely lateral, so you can try to like get around the guy. And there are plenty of examples in the two highlight reels that I'll link in the show notes of that. My favorite is in Atlanta in 2017. If you remember that game where Thielen iced it with a slant, where the cornerback was in a pretty press-ish alignment. He had a couple of steps of cushion, but it was like mostly a press alignment. Couldn't even get a hand on him. Sometimes he can just win with pure speed. There's a clip in there of him just torching Kyle Fuller, a very good cornerback in his own right, and just running right past him on a go route. Kirk Cousins ends up overthrowing him, but you can see the separation. He can also beat you at the break of a route, the part where you actually cut. There's a whole bunch of awesome examples against specifically the Eagles, which is hilarious. The 2018 game against the Eagles, the one with the Linval Joseph touchdown, he has a whole bunch of great routes that kind of break off and get separation. He had a couple of really good ones, including the first touchdown of the season in 2019 in that Falcons game. And maybe my favorite one came against the Raiders when it was the first touchdown against the Raiders. A play action bootleg, he ends up one-on-one because of it, and he ends up crossing up the guy so bad he has to like actually shuffle by him, and he runs into the guy in the middle of his route and still has separation. And the ways to win off of a route break vary wildly depending on the route, right? But basically it's all set up and knockdown. And this is what I think Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs do so well, and they really do it in tandem. You can tell that they pick it up from each other. And it's one of the reasons why I always say that they're two very similar wide receivers. Adam Thielen is really excellent at like kind of leaning his route a certain way and kind of setting up the cornerback in a way that a lot of times a wide receiver does that, and it's like kind of transparent. It's like, okay, if you're starting to drift a little bit to the right, I know that's because you're setting up to cut to the left. But Adam Thielen really, really commits to it, and because of his agility and athleticism, he can kind of get all of that space back. The problem when you lean a route too far, say you're going to, you know, cut inside and you're going to lean your route outside. If you lean too far to the outside, then you are not going to hit the right landmark because you kind of moved too far away from it. You drifted too far away from it. But Adam Thielen and Diggs too, but they both have the athleticism to like cut inside quickly enough to make up that ground. And so what you can do is really convince a corner and really make it look like, oh, you're just running a go route with a little bit of lean on it. And that'll get him to turn his hips, and that'll get him to kind of employ the technique that you need to employ against a long go route, and then you can cut inside and totally have him crossed up. And Adam Thielen does, he's good for that like once or twice a game. It's incredible. There are plenty of examples of Adam Thielen winning on inaccurately thrown balls, either balls that are inaccurate on purpose to get away from a defender or balls that just aren't quite great. He's great at high pointing the ball. That's when if the ball is above your head and you need to go up high and get it, basically being able to time your jump so that the high point of your jump is when the ball arrives, essentially maximizing the amount of height the quarterback has to work with your throw. And he's incredible at that. There is one of my favorite touchdowns was against the Giants, against DeAndre Baker, where he high points the ball like this with a guy literally on his ankles, and it allows Kirk Cousins to throw a ball so high that the cornerback has no choice but to just kind of dive. He has no play on the ball, even though the separation on that play wasn't great. The ability to high point kind of gives the quarterback a lot more room and a bigger window to throw in. He can also beat you on a contested catch. Just think of your favorite example of him doing that against a Saints receiver. He does it all the time against like Lattimore, and I think he's got one against Eli Apple, who was on the Saints for a couple years. Where is he now? Is it like the Raiders or something? Anyways, there's a lot of technique when it comes to contested catches and the ability to box somebody out, which means you have to kind of get positioning on them. You have to end up in front of them or between them and the ball. And if you don't, you have to reach over and get the ball, which that's a lot harder. And Thielen is very good at minimizing the amount of times he has to do that. But if he does have to do that, there are examples of that happening as well, of him getting boxed out and winning the catch anyways. A lot of times people just think it's about being taller, and sometimes it does come down to that, right? The quarterback puts the ball up and you just got to go be the guy that can jump higher and go get it. But a lot of times it's about physicality and boxing out and being able to kind of make separation at the last moment. There is a trick that I always attribute to Randy Moss. I think it's a really Randy Moss thing of basically running at about 80-90% speed for most of the route. And if the quarterback knows you're going to do that, he'll basically quote-unquote overthrow you, and then at the last second you kick it into gear and you can kind of pull away at the very last second and catch the ball. Thielen is a god at this. It's a really advanced wide receiver technique. It's one of my favorite to watch a lot of times because it ends up in a really deep, fun catch, but it's a very fun technique and something that Thielen can do all the time. And then, of course, there is the after-catch ability. Now, I think that this is, for Thielen, maybe a little overrated. I think Diggs is better at it. It's one of the reasons I think Diggs is just a teeny, teeny, tiny bit better, but superficially so. But I think that Thielen often, when it comes to, like, breaking tackles and stuff, he tries to put a move too often, and a lot of times he should just kind of, like, split a guy and just go down or just, like, try to make it so the tackle so he can fall forward, but instead he'll kind of break down and try to, like, juke someone. And he can juke someone enough, so it's not, like, a thing that we really need to be concerned about. But on the whole, he has plenty of examples of this working out and of using that speed and that athleticism and being able to kind of take angles really well. I think that's something he does great. I think it's a holdover from his special teams days where he's really, really good at slashing through the second level of the defense. If he catches a slant, there is kind of always that chance that he will house it. I think Odell Beckham is maybe the best in the league in this. He's one of the best I've ever seen at that. And every once in a while, I will see Adam Thielen do a play that reminds me of Odell Beckham catching a slant and suddenly housing it for a 68-yard touchdown. So you're a cornerback. You're tasked with defending Adam Thielen. Tell me where you want to lose in the play, because really, if you aren't great at all of these things, he will find a way to beat you and beat you often. Are you great at jamming people off the line? Because if not, he'll kill you on the release. Are you fast enough to keep up with a good route stem, or did you give enough cushion for his speed to not just chew up all your cushion and get you on your heels right away? Because if not, he's going to smoke you. Are you good at reading and reacting and keeping your hips disciplined? Because otherwise he'll beat you on the route break. And if he doesn't beat you on the route break, You better hope you made it a real, real tight window, because he will be able to catch inaccurate passes, and especially passes that are inaccurate on purpose to lead the ball away from you. And if you did make it a tight window, you better also be able to box him out, because the quarterback can absolutely still target him in blanketed coverage, and he'll still come up with a fair number of them. And by the way, if you aren't sticky on him when he catches the ball, he could actually house one just based off of yards after the catch, like he did against Carolina in 2017. He almost ripped one off like that against the Giants in 2019. He has the ability to do that as well. But other than that, yeah, he's totally just a guy. I think it's so funny that there are a couple of things that I think contribute to that. The idea of arguing about Diggs and Thielen all the time kind of gets him called, well, he's the second best wide receiver on his own team. And I think that cognitively that kind of gets in people's heads. And I think the idea that he doesn't have a specific game, you know, he doesn't like Tyreek Hill fast and contested catches. Those are his things and you know him for it and you say he's elite because of those reasons. And for Adam Thielen, there isn't really a specific thing that is his thing. He's just good at all of it, which is optimal, right? You don't want your wide receiver to have any weaknesses. You want him to be good at all of the stuff. But because he is, he doesn't stick in your mind as much. So you go, oh yeah, he's just fine, right? He's just kind of a dude. I simply can't abide that take. Now, if he's no longer healthy, if he doesn't come back from the hamstring, that's the kind of thing that can absolutely sink a career. If that happens, I won't be surprised, nor will I think that it makes this particular take wrong. But I don't know. I think he's had a whole offseason to come back from it. If he comes back 100%, he'll still be the same elite Adam Thielen that we've all come to know and love. So on that, I'm going to wrap it up for this episode and this week of Locked On Vikings. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. This was kind of a weird one. We went for like history and a weird economics episode. Training camp is coming up, so we still have plenty of story times to go through. So we're probably going to up that to like 2 a week for most of the rest of the summer. And then we'll have training camp will have started, and we'll kind of see what kind of coverage I can give you for that. I will give you as much as I can. Of course, media access has been severely limited, but hopefully there can be interviews and there can be some semblance of reporting on what goes on in training camp, and I'll be able to relay that to you guys. So I'm excited for that, but we're coming up on it. Hopefully, if there is a season to be played, it will be played soon. So, you can find me in the meantime on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. The show is on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or you can ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. I'll see y'all on Monday, and as always, Skol.